Hello, everyone. Welcome to your weekly tech update at home. I'm your host, Ray McNeil. Of course, this is a program that shows off the newest, coolest, and craziest tech stories from around the interwebs. And today, I thought since the rest of the world was broadcasting from their homes and giving you a glimpse of their life at home, that I might do the same. I've actually been broadcasting from home for quite a few years now, but I've tried to make it as professional as possible with my green screen. And this time, I thought I'd drop the veil of the green screen and show off some of the ugliness that I've been hiding behind me. So you can enjoy, and we can continue on with the show. Coming up on the program today, we're talking Fraggle Rock. They have a brand new mini-series that's making a surprise debut on Apple TV+. Ford's electric Mustang Dragster looks awesome and delivers over 1,400 horsepower. And we'll wrap up the program with this week's Moment of Joy. That and a whole lot more coming up on today's edition of your weekly tech update next. As nostalgia continues its reign, Apple TV Plus has just launched the very first episode of the Fraggle Rock revival. Fraggle Rock Rock On brings the cave-dwelling Muppets of the 80s to the modern age in a series of mini episodes that focuses on social distancing. The characters used to travel freely throughout Fraggle Rock, the titular cave system, but the passageways have closed off. The Fraggles now have to find creative ways to interact and make music. Both new and classic songs will be a part of the show. That's according to Deadline. The first minisode involves the Fraggles receiving new doozer tunes, which allow them to communicate and play a new song. The show's production was a quick turnaround. Social distancing has been in place for less than a few months. Part of the reason the production crew was able to create the show so quickly, however, is because, well, they were all stuck at home too. And because it was all shot on iPhones and was produced in the homes of the crew and artists throughout the US. The Jim Henson Company, the same producer of the original show, is making Fraggle Rock Rock On. So viewers can expect a certain level of quality and fan service when the show form episodes air each Tuesday. Fraggle Rock isn't exactly a deep cut, but it's not universally well known either. Whether or not Apple TV subscribers at large will watch the show remains to be seen, but 80s babies will likely be curious to revisit the caves and creatures. And of course, children who have never heard of Fraggle Rock may even be amused by the silly characters and catchy tunes. I can tell you for sure that I'm going to show my 8-year-old Fraggle Rock. She actually loved the original. It was one of the DVDs we had in the car when we used to go on our big drives. So I'm sure she's going to love this one as well. ESPN has announced plans to broadcast the upcoming Madden NFL 20 Championship Series on ESPN2. The program will include live competition gaming and a docu-series called Road to Madden Bowl. On Thursday, ESPN also announced it will begin televising live regular season and playoff games from MLB The Show Players League across ESPN and ESPN2. A best-of-five championship series will air on May 3rd on ESPN. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but as a video game geek, it is fascinating to see in real time this emergence of esports into the regular sports arenas. It's amazing that we're finally getting these broadcasts on ESPN and all the big sports broadcasters showing what, well, I've been doing for years on my home console. For years now, researchers have been trying to bring improved haptics to virtual reality experiences. Speaking of gaming, we've seen haptic suits from companies like B-Haptics and Tesla, as well as VR boots, gloves, and other handheld devices. Now, a team of researchers from Carnegie Mellon University is ready to introduce a new approach. Their wearable device connects users' hands to their shoulders via spring-loaded cables. It's actually pretty cool. The researchers claim that the product, Wirality, can better simulate objects in VR. The device sits on users' shoulders and these spring-loaded cables attach to each fingertip and a few points of the hand. Gears inside Wirality lock to create resistance, and the design takes advantage of the user's upper body mass to simulate heavy and fixed objects. Wirality could make flat and curved VR surfaces like walls and railings much more lifelike. It could also allow users to interact with touchscreens and buttons in ways that haptic systems with only vibrational motors don't allow. In a paper, the research team explained the design and how they actually kept Wirality lightweight, low power, and low cost. They believe that it could cost less than $50 in volume production. And while the prototype is 273 grams in total, only 11 grams are worn on the hands, making it lighter than, for instance, the HTC Vive controller, which weighs 203 grams. And believe me, when you're in game, you can definitely feel that weight. I've been looking for ways to be more immersed into the VR world, and I definitely want some sort of haptic feedback that's something that we've never seen before, and this might be the ticket. In other news, Facebook is launching its Messenger app for kids in 70 new countries. Well, they actually did it a few days ago. The company has announced a help page on Facebook's website listing Brazil, India, Japan, and New Zealand among the countries where the kid-focused messaging service is now available. Facebook also announced a number of tweaks it's making to how the app works. Facebook has taken its time to roll out Messenger Kids to new markets since its original US launch back in 2017 and expansion into Canada and Peru that happened back in 2018. Facebook says that it's launching more countries as children around the world are having to learn remotely while schools remain closed due to this pandemic. Facebook is also tweaking how children and their parents can use the service. Parents can now opt in to letting their children control their own friends' request rather than having to manage every request on their behalf. However, you still will be able to receive notifications about the Messenger friends that your children are making and, of course, can override any connections if you wish. Groups are also changing. Parents will soon be able to approve an adult, such as a teacher, coach, or another parent, to manage a group chat with their children in it. Finally, parents will also be able to opt in to make their kids' names and profile photos visible to friends of friends in the US, Canada, and Latin America. Facebook's child-focused service has been controversial in the past. Last year, an implementation error allowed children to create group chats with people that parents hadn't approved. The oversight generated a congressional backlash, with senators pushing Facebook to take a more proactive approach to privacy and security. Messenger Kids will start rolling out in the new markets starting today. Meanwhile, the new friend request and group functionality will be available in the U.S. starting today, with international rollout to follow sometime soon. In other news today, we're talking the Mustang Mach-E crossover. It isn't available to customers just yet, but Ford is showing off another example of what an electric Mustang coupe could be like with this prototype racer. The Mustang Cobra Jet 1400 is its first factory-built dragster prototype with an all-electric powertrain that the company said is capable of over 1,400 horsepower and 1,100 foot-pounds of torque. That should be enough to make it worthy of a historic nameplate for factory-built racers. That's even more powerful than the Mustang Lithium electric project car that appeared last year, and more than Chevrolet's Ecopo Camaro prototype. There aren't many specifications listed on the components, but we'll probably learn more before it appears in drag racing events later this year. And it made an appearance as well, if you want to check it out, this past weekend on Motor Trend's On Demand Hard Sell series. If you're into drones at all, you gotta check out DJI's most recent one. It's almost ready to unleash the Mavic Air 2. The FCC recently uploaded documents revealing the drone's specs, and now Drone DJ has also obtained clearer and close-up images of the machine. According to the publication, a DJI partner site accidentally posted Mavic Air 2's photos and price. It'll cost $799 like the first Mavic Air, but they posted it under a different drone. Based on previously leaked information, the foldable drone will be powered by a battery that's 50% larger than its predecessor and can even fly a few minutes longer than the Mavic 2. Further, it will boost a max speed of 42.5 miles per hour like the Mavic Air, and its camera will be able to capture images of up to 48 megapixels as well as 4K videos. In addition, it will feature three-axis image stabilization and several intelligent automated photo modes, such as Active Track 3.0, that allows users to pick a subject that the drone camera automatically follows. It's still unclear when the Mavic Air 2 will be available for purchase, but DJI will no doubt make a reveal very soon. In other news, Boston Dynamics back in the news with their four-legged Spot robot. It can, of course, navigate an office, hold the door open for a friend, or pull a rickshaw and haul a box truck. But its most impressive feat yet might be protecting healthcare workers on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. Recently, Boston Dynamics announced that the Spot robots are allowing healthcare workers to provide remote triage to patients at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital. The company is sharing the hardware and software behind this robotic telehealth approach, and it hopes other mobile robotics platforms will take advantage of the tech. Boston Dynamics platform uses an iPad and a two-way radio mounted to a Spot robot. Healthcare workers can guide the robots through triage tents where patients suspected to have COVID-19 are asked to line up for an initial assessment. Doctors and nurses can then speak with the patient from a safe distance, possibly even their own homes. The company's justification for this trial is that for every intake shift completed by a robot, at least one healthcare worker can reduce their exposure to the virus and conserve the limited supply of personal protective equipment. Boston Dynamics says it still needs to figure out how to remotely collect vital sign information like body temperature, respiratory rate, pulse rate, and oxygen saturation. It's considering the use of thermal camera technology, and it is testing ways to measure changes in blood vessel contractions via RGB cameras. Now, in the near future, Boston Dynamics hopes that by attaching a UVC light or other tech to the robot's back, Spot could be used to kill virus particles and disinfect surfaces in spaces like hospital tents and metro stations. While Boston Dynamics is using its legged Spot robot at Brigham and Women's Hospital, it says the system could be used with wheeled or tracked robots too. It hopes other mobile robotics platforms will leverage the same hardware and software stack to help frontline employees. It's already in talks with the Canadian firm Clearpath Robotics to help spread the technology. When will we see the Apple AirPods 3? with a year and a half going by since the last version of Apple's true wireless earbuds, the AirPods 19, well, there are naturally already murmurs of another updated model coming our way. There have been rumors of an Apple AirPod 3 crashing into the market before 2020 is out, but recent comments from industry analysts suggests we may be waiting a while longer, speculating that the next-gen AirPods would start mass production in early of 2021, with the new AirPod Pro models starting in 2022 as well. We might still get some over-the-ear Apple headphones this year, however, with the much-rumored AirPods X. Since the original Apple AirPods launched in 2016, the true wireless earbuds have dominated the headphone market, becoming an icon of the company's slick design customs and user-friendly technologies. They weren't perfect, though, and in 2019, the upgraded AirPods, or AirPods 2, if you will, were furnished with Apple's H1 chip, which brought with it faster pairing times, longer battery, and a cool hands-free Hey Siri feature. These second-gen true wireless earbuds were a definite improvement upon their predecessors, but they were still easily eclipsed by the likes of the Sony WF-1000XM3, the Cambridge Audio Melomania 1, and of course Apple's own AirPods Pro from 2019. While we haven't heard any confirmation from Apple that it will be launching the AirPods 3 this year, we've still had plenty of time to come up with a wish list of all the features that we'd like to see from the company's next true wireless earbuds. More than a year after Polestar unveiled its stylish all-electric Polestar 2, the company announced that the EV will cost $59,000 in the US. It's slated to arrive in summer 2020, and customers will be able to order online. Now, if all goes according to plan, the first US Polestar retail showrooms will open in New York and on the West Coast in late summer 2020, with additional locations to follow. We are quite enthusiastic to announce the U.S. pricing for the Polestar 2, Gregor Hemborough, head of Polestar USA, said in a statement. The MSRP is lower than we originally targeted and will be extended to all of our current reservation holders. At $59,900, the Polestar 2 isn't exactly cheap, but it basically sits in between Tesla's $40,000 Model 3 and the more premium Model S in pricing. While it's arguably better looking than the Model 3, it has similar specs. Its 78 kilowatt hour battery delivers a range of roughly 275 miles, and it packs 408 horsepower. Despite the coronavirus pandemic, Polestar began production of the EV in China last month. It's manufacturing the car on the same production lines that its parent company, Volvo, is assembling the Volvo XC40. The first Polestar 2 vehicles produced will be sold in Europe, with sales in China and North America after that. For an additional $4,000, customers can get a leather interior, and for an extra $1,200, well, you can upgrade to 20-inch alloy wheels. The Polestar 2 is the first production vehicle to come with Google's Android platform for its infotainment system, so you can expect Google Assistant voice commands, Google Maps, EV charging support, and apps via Google Play Store as well, all nicely built in to the vehicle. Messaging app Telegram is developing a group video calling service that's due to be launched later this year. Now, the company announced recently that the current options offer either security or usability, but that its version will offer both. Telegram announced the plans alongside news that it reached 400 million monthly active users, doubling its user base in 2 years. Telegram's claim that current current group video calling services offer either security or usability is a not-so-subtle swipe at user-friendly Zoom, which has been hit hard by multiple security scandals in recent months, and everybody should stay away from it for the time being. Critics pointed out that these services' claims about offering end-to-end encryption were false, and that its default privacy settings made it easy for uninvited users to tap into video calls. That said, Telegram has also faced its share of criticism from the security community, in part because its end-to-end encryption is not enabled by default. Now, according to Telegram, it hit the 400 million user milestone a year after reaching 300 million. Reaching the milestone means it's doubled its user base since 2018, when it had 200 million monthly active users. The company said it's seeing at least 1.5 million new users sign up for the service every day, and that it's the most downloaded social media app in over 20 countries. However, its user base still pales in comparison to WhatsApp, which boasted 2 billion users as of February this year. Alongside its monthly active users announcement, Telegram also detailed a collection of new features it's launching, including that you can now add educational snippets to quizzes created on the service. There's a new directory to browse the 20,000 stickers available on Telegram, and the company is also adding new features to its macOS client. You can find full details of the new features on Telegram's blog. SpaceX's Starlink internet satellites will soon sport an accessory to tamp down their surprising brightness. That brightness worries many astronomers, who say that the huge Starlink constellation could seriously disrupt a variety of scientific observations. And Starlink will indeed be huge. If all goes according to SpaceX's plan, the company has approval to launch 12,000 craft to low Earth orbit, that's LEO, and has applied for permission to loft about 30,000 more. For a little bit of perspective, humanity has launched just 9,400 objects to orbit since the dawn of the space age way back in 1957. SpaceX founder and CEO Elon Musk has said that the company will find a way to make Starlink craft fade from scientists' sight, predicting that the constellation will end up having no impact whatsoever on astronomical discoveries. Now, SpaceX has been working with the astronomical community to make this happen, researchers say, and the company has already tried some mitigation measures. I'll let you know more when we hear more right here on your weekly tech update. Thank you so much for watching the program today. If you have a story you'd like us to feature on the show, you need to send me an email, djraymcneil@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Tech Update, and check out the podcast, audio and video versions available on iTunes, Google, Spotify, Audioburst, and elsewhere on the interwebs. Till next time, I'm Ray McNeil, and now here's your moment of joy. Your weekly tech update brought to you by Holiday Home Care, Phillip Island, Victoria, Australia. It's your turn to relax.